In today's message, Pastor Jonathan uses several principles of physics, force and pressure, to explain how these things can be used by God to bring us into His perfect will. But only if we'll submit ourselves to these things that are not always pleasant.
We're in the Parables and Parallels series, and today I think we've had amazing services. I think today's going to be another good one here at the 11 o'clock. Today I want to start with physics, and I want to talk to you about force and how force builds faith. I believe that God has an amazing plan for your life, and I believe that one of the only ways to access that is by faith through Christ, okay? So I believe that as your faith grows, then your ability to not only see, approve of, but fulfill God's will for your life grows as well. And so today, I want to talk to you about the plan and purpose that God has for your life. And when you look at force, force is an ability to move an object, to propel an object, to change an object's direction. There's a push and there's a pull to force. And when I think about it, even if you think about the chair you're sitting in, there's a force of atoms holding that chair together so that you can sit in it. There's a force that's shaping the universe. God made our universe that way. And so as we talk about force today, I want you to know that force builds faith. Okay? There's force that builds faith in your life, no matter what kind it is. There's something that God wants to use in your life to help increase your faith. And you might say, I'm going through a difficult thing, hard thing. I want you to know that God can use that, and often does, and sometimes wants to use that for His glory. So there's two scriptures that we're going to look at primarily today. There's others we'll go into, but this first one is Romans 12. 1 and 2. Put it up on the board. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, and I want to stop there because when you view God's mercy, it enables you to think of things differently. When you have the correct and proper view of God and mercy, it enables you to do some things that you wouldn't normally want to do. It'll enable you to sacrifice some things. It'll enable you to give up some things. It'll enable you to connect with God in a different way when you have the right view. So when I view God and His mercy, then I'm able to offer my bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. That's my spiritual act of worship. And then it says, don't be conformed any longer, which means that we were one time conformed. We were shaped by the pattern of this world. There's a pattern of this world that wants to shape you. There's a pattern of this world that wants to shape your mindset and your thoughts. It wants to shape how you view people, how you view God, how you view relationships, how you view finances, how you view all of the areas of your life. It wants to conform you. And so it says, don't conform any longer to the pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to tell what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect. Well, I want to be in the perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but when I think about this pattern, give me that heart. I want that heart, that one. When I think about a pattern, I think about cookies. Anybody with me? Cookies. And I told everybody else, I can tell the difference between store-bought and homemade. Even bring that up in here. When I think about it, there's a pattern. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. And I got a heart because I love you. There's a pattern in the world. And when I think about cookies, there's dough and you apply force to it, you roll it, you get it thin, and then you apply more force and you press this thing down and it cuts away that dough from the rest of the dough. And I started to think about this and I go, there's a stamp that the world wants to put on you. But there's also a God stamp. There's something that He wants to do. He doesn't want the confirmation. We don't like that one. He wants the transformation. And He says, if you're renewed by your mind, then you can be transformed and identify what God's will is. Any football fans in the house? I get a bigger amen for that than the word. Come on. We're only like 5 months away. Praise God. And as I think about that, no team takes the field without knowing where the goal is. They know whether it's 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 80. And that changes the play calling. And I think one of the greatest tragedies that Christians go through is not knowing how good and pleasing and perfect the will of God is for their life. They go through and they kind of meander around and they do different things, but they don't really get, man, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived, no ear has heard what God's will is and what he's prepared for those that love him. Come on, there's something so good for you and for me. And I think the enemy just wants to go, can I distract them? Can I keep them from knowing what that is? Because if I do, they'll never be able to test and approve what God's will is. And so when I look at Romans 7, Romans 7 is the answer to Romans 12. God outlines how the enemy likes to work. Romans 7 says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, it's right there. It's always like a fan knocking. Find that law working in me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. Listen, waging war against the law of my mind. Now, what did we just say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll see the goal line. You'll be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is in the one side. On the other side, the enemy knows this, and so he resists you by saying, well, if I can wage war against their mind, then they can't be transformed and then conform. Hello? There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your thoughts. There's a battle for your faith. And the enemy wants to wage war in your mind because you cannot be transformed without it. And you'll never see the goal without it, which means that you will wander aimlessly thinking that you know what Christianity is really all about, but not having a clue because you have not been transformed. Are you with me today? That's very good. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. Insight, dedication, discernment. Come on, people! Help me! I'm gonna come down that hallway. And I do body in the shower or anything like that, or are you too embarrassed for your best ideas? I was in the bathroom, and the Lord started, and I thought for, then I rebuked. No, I'm just playing. And I thought, okay, a picture that I'm gonna, but God, it's not this analogy, Steve Davis. Yeah, I see. Don't try and hide. Don't try and hide. I see you back there. Steve Davis is my brother, and I don't know their money. I don't know, something like that. But Steve's awesome. Before us did that, and he might still help. And I know it's King. How come you? But I don't know. I didn't want to sip to that level of torture, I guess. But Steve's a trained people, like fist trainer, helping get goals. Those are kind of their goals. And I wanted to ask Steve about weightlifting because I know nothing clearly. But started talking, said, why don't you just tell me like about the bench? Just tell me like, you know, that thing, build stuff and really, really random here. But he said, what do you want to know? And I was like, I don't even know what I want to know. I just want to know about it. I feel like I'm supposed to ask you about it. And I've only asked Steve a couple times to educate me about this. But he said, okay, well, I said, do you get more muscle from pushing up or pulling down? He said, well, you build more muscle from pushing up, you know, from pressing the weight off of you. But he said, the interesting thing is that if you can stabilize the pressure and the weight and the resistance coming down from the bar onto you, then you can build almost 50% of the total muscle mass. The muscle can come from how you deal with coming down. That is. And I started to think about how all of us are naturally trained to pressure off of, so we push back on. But I think it's really God designed our body that you can build so much more. You can build muscle you never could pushing up by learning how to deal with pressure coming down on you. Is somebody with me today on this? And so this resistance builds a muscle that this doesn't do. And we in our nature want to just do this. Get it off. Get the stress off. Get the pressure off. Get the uncomfortability off. Just get it off. We push back by allowing handle in the right way. And so, you know, if I had dumbbells here, I would, but I really, but if I just for a minute had held weight out, that gets hard after like 10 seconds. You start to feel like a burn right here. And then 20 seconds, it gets a little bit louder, that burn in your head. And then by like a, you start manifesting, you're trying to hold on, you know, straining, you know, and you can't hear any voice in your life but the pain, you know? And that's where in the pain, which is why I don't let him train me anymore. I'm just, but there's that pain there. And I think a lot of us are over it develops and we don't feel like we're progressing, feel like we're going in this dumbbell effect happens. And I want to, if you are a believer, then you're called to things. And I'm just going to read. The Bible says, resist Satan, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Another verse says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a guarantee. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And the nature of our resistance is very specific. There's certain ways that the Bible has said we are to resist our selfishness, our selfish desires, Satan, the world. It says the weapons we fight against are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I love that. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And I'll say this again. If there's a thought in your life, if there's a war in your mind, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, the Bible doesn't say to invite it to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't say ask it nicely. It doesn't say walk it by the hand. It says make it. Apply force to that thing, to that thought, to that attitude, to that negativity, and make it obedient to Christ. There's a shaping that you, the thought, a shaping that you can give the attitude of your heart. There's a shaping that you can give to the perspective of your mind, and it comes with force and it's violent. It says, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us, and we use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. I love that because it shows a believer being armed for whatever is going to come his way. In the right hand, I've got attack. In the left hand, I've got defense. I am ready to get it done. I love this scripture because it comes from Jeremiah, and it says, the word of God is like a hammer smashing the stone. The stone represents a stronghold in your life that has been unmovable for years by you. That can be anything that you have come against that just seems to peck at you and to get at you and to gnaw at you a year after year after year. The Bible says the Word of God can smash that thing. And I told the other services this, I'll tell you. I think a lot of times we walk around with super glue. Got it in the old back pocket there? God does a work in your life. I mean, you know it. He's spoken something to you. It's deliberate. It's a delineating work. It's a defining moment with you and Jesus. And that thing is broken. And all of a sudden, you come back because you don't know what life will be like. And the emptiness of that thing gone, what will it be like? Can you fill that void, Jesus? And so instead of walking in freedom, we go back and we super glue that rock back together. We piece it back together. But who the Son says is free indeed. So how do you resist? With the grace of God. The Bible says, Timothy, my dear son, in the faith, stand firm. Stand strong in the grace that God has given you. There's a grace for whatever you're facing. And I want you to know today that the reason Paul told Timothy to stand strong in it is because he was standing weakly in it. What that means is, do I utilize the grace that God has to its full potential? Or do I undersell the grace of God? Do I underutilize the grace that God has put in my life? There's a grace in life. I'm telling you right now, it's a person, it's church, it's a person in a connect group waiting for you to sign up. It's a person, it's a message from the Lord. It's a prayer. It's a song of worship. There's a grace that God has put in your life. Stand strong in it. I can go down the list. The Bible says, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. There's faith and love that protects us as we follow Christ. I could go into Ephesians 6. I'm not going to go into all of that because there's so many: salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and go on and on and on. But one thing I want to do, give me this right here. When I thought of today's message, I thought of this. How many of you ever did a wrist rocket slingshot? Anything like that? Kids growing up? When I was a kid, I had like a awesome. And I've got bullets for this, but I thought if I put them in there that I might accidentally hit one of you. Or maybe not accidentally, I don't know. No, I'm just playing. But I thought about this process right here, and this process is very important. If just listen to me on this for 1 minute. When I was a kid, we had big oak trees in our front yard, and they would always drop acorns, you know, and we didn't even have to buy bullets because acorns are the perfect size, right? You know, so me and my friends would get together, and we would try and run between oak tree to oak tree, and we would shoot at each other with these things. And, you know, whoever got hit the most obviously lost, and it was a blast. We had an awesome... Why are you guys looking at me so weird? You didn't do this? It's just what country folk do? I don't know. I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. So anyway, we would do that, and we would just go back and forth and shoot each other, and it hurt like the devil. But, you know, it was loads of fun. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And I started thinking about this process. I feel like you're judging me for this. Do I need to put this away? I mean, it's not that bad, y'all. So anyway, we would do this, and I started thinking about this. And the Bible says that the sons of God, right? The sons are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So if we are in this sling, just think about this, and God's good, pleasing, perfect will is his will for you. That's the target. And we're in his hand, then I think a lot of us look at this way. Have you ever felt, and I hear this a lot as a pastor, have you ever felt like you were doing all the right things? Hey, pastor, I'm praying to church, my Bible, I'm tithing, I'm doing it all, and yet I'm walking like for every step back, and I feel like I'm further away. Has anybody ever felt that way? What you, anybody else? Awesome. Well, I started to think about this, and I want you to just go with me. I think a lot of us would rather God treated us this way. I want you to know right now, you didn't ever go anywhere doing this with a slingshot. How many of you know that the power is in the pull? That the power is in the resistance? Come on. When I wanted to shoot one of my buddies, I didn't do this. Run! Pathetic! Come on! No! I lined it up. I was like, Joker, I'm going to nail you in like way back, you know, almost breaking that thing. Why? Because I knew that the resistance is what gave it its power, right? And I think oftentimes God is doing this, and we can see the target, and we're going away from it. Hello? And this is about the point where we talk to God. We really talk to God. All of the religiosity goes away at this point. This point right here. This is where people get real with Jesus. They start talking to Jesus like he is their friend or enemy. And they start telling God how much they are in pain and why they are so self-righteous and how they are doing it all right and how God just needs to see and look on my affliction and God, you just don't know what you're doing and God, I'm so tired, I'm so weird, I'm so this, I'm so that. God, where are you? And you've forsaken me. And God is all the time going, what are you talking about? But I'm moving away from where I'm supposed to be going and I'm just doing everything right now. And God is saying, there's a resistance that I have built into your life. There's a resistance there and you can try and do this all you want, but you're not going to hit anything doing this. No, the resistance is what gives you the power and God is pulling you back. And you think you're going away from the target, but if you could just see resistance is beautiful, then you could see that God is actually going to propel you. Don't jump out of the sling. Allow the Almighty to say, you know what, there's a target over there and I'm going to propel you to it and it'll be a whole lot better than if you never went backwards at all and we just hit you forward. No, it will catapult you into the purpose and grace that I have for you in Christ Jesus, right? Right? Oh, now you clapping. The resistance critical to hitting the target, and it's critical velocity. Now, this is a sound weird. Parables of God's word in them, and I don't know how many Star Wars we got up in here. I don't need God. We need blood and the cross. Help us. One more time. Okay, that's better. Well, the eight of you will love this clip. The rest of you don't fall asleep because I'm still going to preach after. Play Yoda. He's going to preach to us for a minute. Play it with sound.
Massing stones around is one thing. Totally different.
No. No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right. I'll give it a try.
No. Try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
I can't. It's too big.
Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. And binds us. Luminous beings are we. Not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here. Between you. Me. The tree. The rock. Everywhere. Yes. Even between the land. In the ship.
You want the impossible. I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
Come on. I want you to be a spiritual Jedi, church. You know, there's a few things that he says. Number one is size matters not. And I don't know what you're going through today, but it's not big enough than the God used. Small thing compared to our Jesus. I love the just do it phrase in there. Do or do not. There is no try, you know. After Ephesians 6, the Bible says, after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. Stand firm then. Do or do not. No try. God's given you the ability to do. It says, unlearn what you have learned. I think that we have to unlearn some things when we come into the kingdom. A lot of things. I think everything. And we have to learn new things. The impossible is accessed by faith. This goes back to the mind. The Bible says no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I think oftentimes we never stop and go, what are you trying to teach? What are you trying to train me for? There's a purpose to your training. There's a purpose to your training. There's a purpose to what you're going through. I think a lot of times we look at discipline as being an unpleasant thing. Resistance is an unpleasant thing. To what we want isn't good, and we should press through it in every way. But what if we saw that in the will of God, discipline is one of the best things in our life? That divine resistance is an opportunity for us to recalibrate, to adjust our heart, to surrender our desires, submit our will to God. I love the last part of that because it says, I don't believe it. And he says, well, that's why you fail. There was a time where the disciples looked at Jesus. They weren't able to do something for someone. And they went to Jesus and they said, why can't we do it? You did it. And Jesus was very honest. He said, because you have so little faith. And when you look at this thing, I look at it this way. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can remove a mountain. So their faith had to have been so small that it didn't even measure a mustard. Really, I think what Jesus means, you didn't have any faith, so I couldn't move. I couldn't do it. But you wanted. And there's an element, the Bible says, but he's given a measure of faith. So it's not that you don't have, it's we don't. And I started to think about this. Some of you, and again, Stephen was so gracious to help me in the first service. Come on up, passed up. This is the view that God gave me. Like I said, God was talking to me about resistance in my own life because I hate it. I just want to move on or get it done, go. I don't like what resistance does in my life. And so God gave me this view, and this is appropriate because this is kind of high. So if that's a precipice, and I'm going to be you for a minute because I'm no different than anybody here. That's the reality. I'm you. This is the direction you want to go. And Stephen's going to be God for a minute. Come to me. Put your arms on my shoulder. And this is the perspective God gave me. So often we're so sure that we're going the right way, doing the right thing, doing it, doing that. You know, this is what I need. This is what I want, God. This is what I, you know. And so we walk towards this thing. And we're so excited about the path that we don't even see that there's a precipice that we're about to fall off. What's wrong, Stephen? You're stopping. We don't realize we're about to go off. And we feel this resistance and we don't like it. So we cast it out. We rebuke it. We pray against it. It's whatever. God, why am I having such a hard time? And we never stop to be trained by the resistance. We don't think, wait a minute, God, what if it isn't big bad Satan? What if it isn't the world? What if what I'm feeling is you? And some of us will keep expending energy in this place because you're not going to get it. You don't care to ask the question. You don't care to be beyond what you want. But for those who are willing to maybe be circumspective in their approach, you start to go, wait a minute, could that be God? And what if I turned around? And now the very thing that was opposing me is now propelling me because I took a different direction and I took a different approach. And I saw resistance as something to be trained by, not something to fight against. What if what opposed me propels me into what God has for me? All because it wasn't a matter of God being bad. In fact, God didn't stop doing the exact same thing that he was doing. What did happen was I changed. I took a different approach. And God showed me people that want to run off this thing and don't even know it. And he's pressing them. There's a guy in scripture named Balaam, and God resisted him, and he said, why did you do that, God? And he said, because your path was a reckless one. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're off in what you desire and want. And when my resistance comes against you, if you could just turn around, The same force that is stopping you, that is aggravating you, that is vexing you, is the same force that propels you into what God has for you. And somebody, I agree. Happy are we. I'm here going through a battle of the mind. Bible says you test, you can't be trans, but God's good and perfect will is when you're battling in the law of your mind being waged war against the power of darkness. The thoughts in your life do not line up with the thoughts of God. You need to make them obedient. You've let them linger too long. Well, thinking about ending things, thinking about checking out. And I just, if you're being honest, I want you to bow your head, close your eyes, and say, hey, my emotions aren't right. They're not in alignment with God's word. My thoughts, my mind, I'm having a struggle. Discourage. If that's you today, I believe that God wants to encourage you and propel you into His direction, into His plan, into His purpose. If you're honest enough, the Bible says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Stand firm in the grace that God wants to give you. If that's you, I want you to call me up. I just want you to raise your hand and say, I need help in that area of my life. It's a war in my mind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's thoughts that shouldn't be there. There's something that I'm feeling that's resistance in my world. I need help to overcome them. Keep your hands up. A lot of people, I feel like, dealing with these kinds of things. I want to pray for you. I want our prayer team to come because I don't want you to leave without getting prayer, serious prayer. But I want to pray for you. I feel like there's another call I should give, and it's one. You can't have victory outside of Jesus Christ. There's no program that will do that for you. There's no 12-step, 10-step, 30-step. There's nothing. There's no system that's going to help you overcome what you got going on in your heart. You can change a behavior, but you can't change a nature. Only God can. I feel like there's people that need to surrender their lives to Christ. You need to give it to Him. You've been trying to do it your own way, and it ain't going to work. Today, the Bible says that salvation is waiting for you. Victory is waiting for you. That if you confess your sins, believe in your heart, you'll be saved. That Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. There's people here today that I feel like maybe that's for you. And so what I want to do, before I pray for those who are struggling, I want to invite you to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you do that by confessing your sin and that He's Lord. So, church, pray this prayer with me out loud. Whether you're a believer, you're just going to help somebody come to the kingdom, hopefully. Say, dear God, I accept as my Lord and Savior. I thank You for paying for my sin, rising again. I repent. I turn away from my sin and I turn towards You. Thank You for coming into my life. Thank You for giving me a new heart. I surrender and I'll serve You all the days of my life. With your head bowed, your eye closed, I don't want to call you up here. I just want to acknowledge you, and I want you to acknowledge. The Bible says if you acknowledge Jesus before men, then He'll acknowledge you in heaven before His Father. Is anybody here today that said, man, I just made a big change in my life. I gave it to Christ when I said that prayer. Thank you. Just keep your hand up nice and high because I want to give you a Bible. Thank you. Thank you. Another one. Guys, make sure that we see them. Church, let's begin to clap and give God glory. There's people that are... Somebody else. This is between you and God. Somebody else. Come on, just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. No shame in that. God, the Bible says Jesus came for you. He left all of us. He went after you. Those who are in the faith, He's going after the ones that are lost. There's at least two over here, Ron, right over there. Get those. Anybody else? Okay. What I want you to do, if that's you, you said, hey, I need encouragement. I'm not going to keep you. God, right now, Your word says that we have victory in Christ. God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Even as we read today, who could separate us from the love of God? Not famine, not darkness, not sword, not angels, not demons, no power in heaven, in our hell, or under the earth, or on the earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Father, right now, I just pray and I thank You that we have the mind of Christ. The thoughts of God, Father, I thank you that in you all things are made new. And God, I pray right now that we would learn to embrace resistance. God, that we would properly discern. If it's resistance from you, we welcome it. If it's from the enemy, we're going to be the resistance. God, we're going to be the ones that fight in war against the enemy. We're going to take every thought captive and make it obedient, Father. God, we thank you that in you we have the victory, and I pray right now for a freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. God, let there be a freedom in each person's life. We thank you for what you're doing. God, help us to embrace resistance in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you raised your hand and you said, hey, I need help, I want our prayer team to come up right now. Just Stephen, Amy, anybody in this team, I want you to start to come up. We're going to pray for people, our pastors. And if that's you, don't leave without getting prayer. Some things only happen by prayer. So come on and help us war with you. If you're here today, be here next week and invite somebody and find a place in your life where you say, hey, God, I can take the weight. I can take the strain. You're doing something in me and in my life, and I thank you for it. Can we say amen? We love you, church. We believe in you. One thing before I go, Caleb Lee, come up here real quick. Yep, you. I was hoping to use this for another analogy, but I thought you should have it. God's going to propel you. You've been in the band, getting going back, and I feel like the Lord has said you've been frustrated to going back. But he's saying, don't worry, there's a time of propulsion coming your way. When you think of that, you remember not the hard times, but how God used resistance to shoot you into his path for your life. Love you, brother. Come on, let's give God a hand. Let's pray. Love you. Be dismissed. Sign up for a Connect group. David, thank you. I close for you. Sign up for a Connect group. We love you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
If you're looking for a church home, Pastor Jonathan would like to invite you to consider the House of Prayer. Attend one of our services on Sunday soon, either 9 or 11 a.m. at our Central Campus or 10 a.m. at our Westchester Campus. For more information, consult our website or call the church office at 796-2828. Children's ministry is available at all three services. We hope you'll have a great week, and we hope to see you soon at the House of Prayer, where you find faith, family, and friends.